Glory, 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 glory. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I'm blessed. And I know that I am, since Jesus took control of my life. I'm blessed. And I know that I am, for He promised me a new life. Oh, I'm blessed. For He walks with me, and He's with me wherever I go. And if you happen to ask, how are you, my friend? Oh, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Oh, I'm blessed. And I know that I am, in Jesus' control of my life. I'm blessed. And I know that I am, for He promised. With me wherever I go. And if you happen to ask, oh, how are you, my friend? Oh, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. Oh, I'm blessed. And I know that I am, in Jesus' control of my life. I'm blessed. And I know that I am, for He promised me a new life. Oh, I'm blessed. I'm blessed, and I know that I am, for He promised. know that I am sick. Jesus took control of my life. I'm blessed, and I know that I am, for he promised me a new life. Oh, I'm blessed, for he walks with me, and he sits with me. I know, oh yes, said you have. Oh, glory! Woo! I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. Oh, I'm blessed, and I know that I am, said Jesus took control of my life. I'm blessed, and I know that I am, for he promised me a new life. Oh, I'm blessed, for he walks with me, and he's with me wherever I go. And if you happen to ask, oh, how are you, my friend? I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. Woo, glory, glory. Woo, thank you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory. Woo, thank you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Woo, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, 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 glory. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Woo, glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm glad I'm here. Praise God. Here's another one of those little deals. This is not Brooklyn's this time. Hers was green. This one here is orange. It says God's team. I don't know. One of you young people, does this look familiar to anybody? A little bracelet with a little cross on it, and I don't think it'll fit me, or I could wear it, but it won't work. So if you lost a little orange bracelet, well, it's up here. They keep showing up, different ones. Praise the Lord. Well, the Bible says, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Praise God. All you got to be is righteous to get God to hear your cry. And you don't have to be 100% righteous, but just get in a place where God can count you righteous. The Lord we're justified by faith. So if we're living according to all we know, then we're counted righteous, we're counted holy. And the Lord, we're made righteous. Our sins are, though they be as scarlet, Isaiah said, they shall be whiter than snow. So, as long as I'm trying and doing all I know to do, well, the Lord is mindful of that. And he hears my cry when I call to him, and he delivers me out of all my troubles. I can tell you, I've had a lot of troubles in life, but he's delivered me out of every one of them. I'm still here, and all my troubles are behind me. I may have some new ones tomorrow, but he'll deliver me out of them. That's good to know. So, that's in Psalms 34, isn't it? I sought the Lord. Well, he starts off saying, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Then he gets to, he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. Those of you that can share this with me, that you've experienced the Lord. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Are you afraid of anything tonight? Got any fears? Hey, there's some of the Batesville folks here. Praise God. We're glad you're here. I thank the rest of everybody's home folks tonight. Brother Goss, he just home folk. That's the way I am. When I go to Keswick, I just feel like I'm home. I just feel like a part. And we appreciate Brother Goss and his being here with us. He actually came down because he had an appointment with his eye doctor here. He never had any intentions going anywhere, but it was a campground, so we went together. I told him, you know, you're supposed to have an appointment Friday morning with the doctor again after the appointment Wednesday. And he told the doctor, he said, I'd like to go to a camp meeting in Kentucky if it's all right, if I don't have to be back Friday and you could just see me Monday. And so the doctor said, that'll be fine. So it worked out so he could go with us to the campground. And it was a good meeting. There were good. Brother Steve Wilkerson really preached a good message on the 6th chapter of Romans and the 16th verse, where it said, to whom ye yield your servants, your members to obey, his servants you are. And he went into a teaching on that Greek word doulos, which means slave. That word servant. In other words, you're in bondage to either sin or you're a bond slave to the Lord. He's our master and he tried to help us. He did help me. I hope he helped everyone else there. It was a good anointed message on God being our creator, our master. He purchased us with a price. And we're indebted to him. And he's our master. And when you're a slave, when you're totally owned by someone, you're supposed to hearken to their ever desire. And that's, you know, he tried to help us to get our the proper mindset that we belong to the Lord. And sometimes we need that. We need men to help us to get our focus adjusted. It's what I'm trying to do right now with my eyesight. I'm not satisfied not being able to see. You know, even with glasses, I can see 20/20. They've corrected me where I can see 20/20 with glasses. But if I get my glasses, you know, if they're not kept clean, well, things get a little out of focus. And if I take them off, especially if I go outside especially on a hot day, if I start sweating a little bit and it drops down on my glasses, well, that messes up my sight. And if I take them off, I can see good enough to get around, but I can't read or anything like that. So I heard about this. It's called gentle cornea molding. Gentle molding of the cornea. That they can actually put these little hard contacts in your eyes at night. They have a machine, they map your eye. They can tell exactly what shape your cornea is. And then they make a lens for that, and you put that on at night, and it reshapes your cornea little by little every night. Some people, they say it happens almost overnight. Some people can wear them one night, and the next day they can see 20/20 vision. And then but they have to keep wearing them. Some people don't have to wear them every night, and the first night I wore them, I could see really good the next day. But the longer I wear them every day, the worse my eyes get, except for reading. I can read perfect, which is like a miracle. I mean, if you can't read anything, you know, I mean, I'm talking about my eyesight was like 20/200 in one eye and 20/275 in the other. What that means is what a normal eye can see at 200 feet away, I have to be 20 feet of it to see it like they do at 200 feet away. That's what 20/200 vision is. If you've got 20/40 vision, well, what a normal eye can see clearly at 40 feet away, you have to be 20 feet from it to see it the same way they see it. Now, 20/20 means what a normal eye sees at 20 feet away, you can see it 20 feet away. So you're normal. But, you know, I'm trying to see the plan of God clearly. I'd like to have perfect eyesight when it comes to spiritual. Blessed are they that are, he said, blessed are they that hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Blessed are your eyes and your ears. I'd like to have blessed eyes spiritually. And naturally, you know, you can't relate to spiritual things. If it's first that which is spiritual and then that which is natural, Jesus said. So, I know I don't, this is optional. You know, I don't have to do this. But I'd like to be able to see without wearing glasses. You know, it's... And I can quit anytime I want to. I've already found out, I'm just giving y'all a little testimony about this. This is just free commercial. You don't have to, you know, you can go get a drink right now if you don't hear this part. But you need to be back before the regular show starts. That made me forget what I was going to say. Yeah. Well, it's optional, yeah. I can quit anytime. That's what I was going to tell you was. It's real spooky when I first started this, because you put these things in your eyes at night and you can see with them on, but they're hard contacts and they make your eyes water, and that makes everything blurry. And I mean, it's kind of like having, I don't know. It's kind of like having something in your eye, you know, like a, I mean, you do have something in your eye, but it's, I don't know if it's not quite like a piece of sand, is it, Brother Goss? It's like, he said it's like having a truck in his. Well, let me tell you, the first time I put them on, my eyes rejected it, and they just clamped shut, and I couldn't see nothing. I even had to feel on the table to find the little thing that you put them back in, you know, and I thought, Lord, I don't know if I could ever do this. but I've got used to it, and I hope I'm discouraging you some, because right now I wouldn't recommend anybody do this. You better wait till find out how this turns out with me and Brother Goss. In fact, my wife is already, and I know I haven't said this to Brother Goss, but I know other people have. My wife's already told me several times, why don't you give up? Why don't you quit? I would never go through what you're going through. But I have, but the reason I do is because there's still a ray of hope. I mean, I have days where I can see so good. And look, hey, I can read my Bible right now without glasses. I can't see y'all, but I can read my Bible. Well, here's what happens. I was going to tell you, you put these things in your eyes. I mean, I've had anxiety attacks with them on. I thought, what if I'm making myself blind? What if I'm laying here and I've got these crazy things in my eyes and I could see good with glasses before I started. What if I wake up in the morning and I'm blind? I've laid there in the bed and I thought, I can't take it any longer. I'm getting up, getting these things out of my eyes. And then I took them out of my eyes and I couldn't see. I thought, my God, I have blinded myself. Everything's just a big blur. Dear God, forgive me for acting so crazy and trying to do this kind of stupid deal. Give me my eyesight back. Well, one night I stayed up all night, just every hour checking, seeing if anything's getting any better. Finally, by morning, I could see. I was wore out, but I could see. I lost a whole night's sleep. I sat up in a chair all night. Every once in a while, I'd turn on the light, pick something up, and see, with my glasses, can I read? Put my glasses on. No, it's terrible, blind, blurry. But finally, by morning, I didn't have me but an hour and a half that night. It messed me up that bad, an hour and a half. Whew. And I've had some bad deals with this. But finally, one day, I said, I'm quitting. And so I did. I quit. And I went to bed without them. That next day, I woke up, and everything was just crystal clear. Oh, everything was sharp. Without glasses. I said, what's going on here? I didn't even wear them last night. I couldn't read, but everything distance was beautiful. I couldn't put my glasses on. I couldn't see distance, but everything looked good. To read, I could read with my glasses. It took 4 days for my eyesight to come back to where it was. My glasses worked again. Well, that encouraged me. I thought, I can get back to seeing right. Another thing is, I went to the doctor the next day when everything was so blurry, and he couldn't even fit me with glasses to make me see. That's spooky. When an eye doctor can't fix you. So all that made me want to quit. But then I did quit. And then I thought, well, I'm going to try it again. I put them in. Man, the next day I could see good. But every day that I wore them, I could always read good, but every day I wore them, my distance got worse. Well, they finally decided that your oil, you've got your lower eyelid secretes oil. They've got oil glands in them, and it secretes oil. And that oil creates a film over your eye, and your upper eyelids is they tear all the time. When you're blinking, you're tearing, and water, and that keeps your eyes, number one, keeps them clean, and it keeps them moist. And that oil provides a way that that water, the tears, can flow over your eyes evenly. And it also keeps your eye moist. If you didn't have that oil and those tears in your eyes would dry up, you'd go blind. So you've got to have that. But most people don't have enough oil in their system, our water. That's one of the problems. That's why everybody wears glasses just about, because we're drinking so many carbonated drinks. And every carbonated drink you drink is a diuretic that takes water out of your system. If you drink 16-ounce Coke, you need to drink 16 ounces of water before you're back to zero. You drink that much coffee in the morning, it's a diuretic. Tea's that way. I've got to where I don't drink anything but my two cups of coffee in the morning, and then I don't drink anything but water. When I go to a restaurant now, I pass up all the Coca-Colas and Diet Cokes, and I'm up to, most of the time, 2 tablespoons of pure fish oil every day to get oil back in my system. I will tell you, my joints are freeing up. I don't have any joint pain like I used to have. That's helping me. Plus, this fish oil has got me, it's dropped my blood pressure. I don't need any blood pressure medicine. The doctor told me it would do that. So my blood pressures went to normal and my joint pain's better. But I still wasn't getting enough oil in my eyes. They said, well, come in, we found a new deal. We've got a $120,000 laser machine that we can treat your lower eyelids and make the oil start flowing again. Your oil glands are plugged up. And they said, we can help that. We can give you a treatment that will unplug those oil glands. And they did. They took me in there and in just a few seconds shot me with 4 different shots of laser in the lower eyelid on each eye. I didn't know what they was going to do to me. They put goggles on me. They all dressed up with this rubber suits. I said, what are y'all fitting to do here? They said, sign this form right here. I said, what is it? They said, that means if anything bad happens, we're not responsible. I said, have y'all ever done this to anybody before? Anyway, I finally signed it. And anyway, they did it, and immediately after they did it, they checked me and my oil glands started working again in my eyes. Well, anyway, what they've determined is that in my case, not Brother Goss's case, but in my case, I'm correcting, overcorrecting. In other words, 8 hours a night for me to wear these is too much. The doctor told me, said, I want you to wear them every other night. Well, you know, things don't work out according to the book all the time. By the way, I'm going to use this in a minute. I'm going to use this to make a point with. But like the other night, I didn't get them in my eyes till almost 2 o'clock in the morning when I went to bed. And then I got up at 6, and I got to get them out when I get up. I can't see. I mean, not very good. So I didn't have them on but 4 hours, but I took them out, and hey, I could see. Couldn't read, but I could see. I couldn't read very good. I could read better just with regular reading glasses. I could read, which I have astigmatisms, and I can't see nothing with regular reading glasses if it doesn't correct my astigmatism. But just with regular reading glasses, I could read, but I could see everything clear in the distance. So I thought, well, that first night, see, I was supposed to wear them 8 hours and then the next day not wear them. Well, I only wore them 4 hours, so I thought, well, I better wear them again tonight. So it was 1 o'clock in the morning before I got to bed that night and put them in. And I woke up at 5:30, and that was just 4.5 hours. And so I thought, well, I don't know if I ought to take them out or leave them in. Well, I took them out and I could see. So, well, I better leave them out then. It's working. And so last night I thought, you know, I've been putting them in the last two nights anyway instead of every other day. And I only wore them for 4.5 hours last night, so I think I'll put them in again. So I put them in. We got home about midnight. I finally got to bed about 1. I put them in. I woke up at 5:30. And one of them, my right one was bothering me, and I took it out, and I could see. And I put it back in. I thought, well, maybe if I'll keep it in 8 hours, I'll be able to read in the morning, see too. I can see right now. So I thought, I'll put them back in. So I put them back in, and Sister Smith woke me up at 9 o'clock. I mean, I was out like a light. So I jumped. I said, 9 o'clock, my Lord, I got to get up and get ready and get gone to church, and I got to get these things out of my eyes. They've been in my eyes 8 hours now. Well, I took them out. I can read real good, but I can't see. So it's too long for me, evidently. Anyway, I don't know what all I'll go through, if it'll finally work or I'll give up, but I'm still working on it. But I can tell you this, oil, you know, it's amazing how God made the human body. Oil, you know, if you don't have enough oil, you can't see spiritually. If you don't have enough oil in the Bible, represents the Word of God. If you don't have our knowledge, if you don't have enough knowledge of the Word of God, you can't see the plan of God. What did Jesus say? What is that scripture where he said, there's a scripture where he said, you can't see the kingdom of God. Help me with it. Where is that scripture? Yeah, what does it say there? Is that, that sounds right. Except, let's see, Brother Goss, that sounds right. I just can't get it in my mind. He can't enter. Yeah, it's verily verse 3. Is that the one you had, Brother Goss? John 3:3? Said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, it takes a knowledge of the Word of God, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And except you hear, how shall you hear except there be a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? It takes hearing the Word of God to see the kingdom of God. And it takes a certain amount of knowledge to be able to have eyesight, spiritualized, to see. And water, tears, you know, the water for the eyes represents the Spirit of God. If God don't touch you, how shall they preach except they be sent? It takes an anointing of the Holy Ghost. It takes the Spirit of God. The oil is just knowledge. But if it's not quickened by the Holy Ghost, it'll never mean a lot to you. It'll never turn into revelation. But when the Holy Ghost touches you, when the Word of God is ministered, under an unction of the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit of God touches you, quickens you as an individual, you'll see something spiritual with your spiritual eyes. And so, anyway, I know that the eye represents our ministry. Jesus said, "If thine eye offends you, pluck it out." He was talking to a group of people that had seers, prophets, pastors, ministers, a priesthood that were blind. They were. He said, "You blind guides." He said, "You blind. If the blind lead the blind, you all fall in a ditch." And we know a ditch. It represents falsehood, Babylon. False religion, a harlot is a deep ditch, the Bible says, and in Proverbs. And so I know that we need seers that can see clearly. And I every experience I experience in life, I try to look for some God in it some way. And I'm gaining some things, you know, and realizing God, how a body can suffer without good eyesight. If you don't have good, clear eyesight, you really suffer. And but to see things clearly, Brother Fitzsimmons I was telling him about this. He said, "I never heard of that," but he said I had cornea transplants in both eyes. I wasn't able to go into we didn't have time to really talk about it or go into details about it. I assumed that he may have had cataracts or something, but anyway, he had cornea transplants, and he said it was unbelievable. He had one month, and 2 months later he had the other one. He said he's unbelievable. Colors, the sharpness of seeing everything clearly was just magnificent to me. The only thing is, he can't read without reading glasses, because the cornea transplant, that didn't fix that for him. But this, there's only five doctors in the United States that has this cornea eye molding that has the lens that will correct your ability to read without reading glasses. And that's what I wanted. I said, "Well, I don't even want to do it if I can't get, you know, 20/20 vision all the way around." That's what enticed me about it. And it is, I mean, if I could see everything, it's, you know, like I can read my Bible right now, even the small print in it, without glasses, which is like a miracle to me. But to have to look up and look out there and everything be a blur, that's not fun. But I can tell you right now, I won't wear them tonight, and in the morning I'll be able to see everything clear as a bell. I just won't be able to read. But in about 2 days, 2 or 3 days of not being able to see really affects your nerves. It affects the whole body. It's affected me. I almost get sick with it. I just get my, it's like my nerves, I can't even hardly explain it, but it's like I can't take this anymore. I can't take not being able to focus or see things clearly. And you know, and it's really, I mean, I'm willing to give up the reading so I can see clearly. I told the doctor the other day, I said, "I'm going to have to quit if you can't do something for me different." Because I said, "I can't stand much more of this, of being blind." You know, I love being able to read, but being blind with everything else is not good. And I've got 5 or 6 pairs of glasses now. He said, "We'll make you glasses every day." I said, "Yeah, I can't see through none of them." You know what I mean? He made me a pair. He said, "Here, let's make you a pair of glasses." He made me a pair of glasses, and the girl put them on. I said, "I can't see through these." She said, "Well, he just tested your eyes, and the machine said you could." I said, "I don't care what the machine says. My eye says I can't see." So she said, "Well, let's go back in there and have him check it again." And he told me, he said, "You got me pulling my hair out. I just checked your eyes, and you can see through the machine. You should be able to see with these glasses." I said, "Well, I can't. I can read with them, but I can't see across the street, nothing." I said, "Look through those windows right there. There's a sign over there." I said, "I can read it without these glasses on better than I can read with them on. This makes things worse." So he got to thinking about that. And he got up and he turned the lights out in the room, and he checked my eyes again with the machine. You know how they always turn the lights out in the room and it's shining a light on the wall, and you're looking at these little line 1, line 2, 3, and 4. He said, "Can you read that?" I said, "I can read every line." He said, He got up and turned the light on. He said, "Read it to me now." I said, "I can't see none of them." He said, "Oh, I know what's wrong." He said, when the light's off, you turn the light off, your pupils expand to take more light, dilate, so you can take more light in. and so you can see better. He said, when you turn the light on, they constrict because they don't need that much light. He said, but the problem is we're correcting the part of your reading of your eyes in too big of a hole. And when it's daylight and your eyes constrict down, you can see things up close. But when you look out at a distance, we've corrected that wider part of your eye that you're looking for distance for reading, and it's like looking through it. And that's exactly what it's like. It's just like me looking at y'all through a pair of strong reading glasses. If any of y'all got reading glasses, just put them on and look at me, and you'll see what I'm seeing right now. It's just like taking number 3 and put it on and look at me, and you'll see exactly how you look to me. It looks great when you look down here. You can read. When you look up, everything's just a blur, you know, because it's magnified everything this way off, and you can't distinguish. Well, that tells me unless you really get the Word of God in your life, when the sun shines real bright, when there's a lot of light, you're too much light. If you don't have your spiritual eyes adjusted, too much light. Did you know you can take people that can see part of the kingdom of God and see part of God's truths, but if you shine too much light on that, on their life, they can't focus properly. Because you get them all out of focus because they just cannot adjust. They've got too small of a area. Their vision's too small. They're just looking at things just like they've seen them, just right around them, close up around them. You know, God's going to want to develop a people that's got eyes to see the whole plan of God and all of what God's doing. God wants a people that's able to see through His eyes, see clearly. Jesus touched a man one time. He said, "How do you see things now?" He said, "Well, I see all men like trees." He, in other words, he could see, but men were just, you know, just figures. He couldn't make it all out. So Jesus touched him again and said, "How do you see now?" He said, "I see all things clearly." Well, I know God's, if you've come into the kingdom of God and God's touched your life in any way, you can't get a touch from God to see everything clearly just like that. Your vision of in the things of God and spiritual things has to come. It takes more than one touch of God for you to be able to see clearly. The first time God touched me, I just saw men, you know, like trees. I know trees in the Bible represent people. And I could see what was going on in the kingdom of God, but I didn't clearly see what was going on in the kingdom of God. When you first get in here, you can see. You know, Sister Elsie, when she first came in, she just thought we was all wonderful. She just thought, all y'all just like, she told us, she said, "Y'all are angels, every one of you. Just like little angels. There ain't, I don't want not one of you to change." I knew she just seeing us like trees. I thought, she's not seeing clear yet. I said, it won't be long. She'll be thinking, "Dear God, I wish that sister would change. I wish that brother would straighten up." You stay around here long enough, you'll start seeing more. But it takes. She saw Al way more clear than any of us for a long time. She used to tell us how he needed to straighten up. But look at him grinning back there. But it takes God. Did you know that you really can't be used of God in a great way until you see more clearly. It takes God helping you and helping me to see, really have the spirit of discernment working in us. For God to help us to really see. I remember even in a local church, you can't be of great effect in a local church until you can see, till you know what's really going on in there. You really understand the government of it, the order of it. You understand everybody's place in it, what they're doing, and all the problems. Not just the good, but the problems. And that's a downer. You get to where everybody ain't as great as you thought they was. I never will forget the first pastor I sent under. When I saw a fault in his life, it just about caused me to backslide. When I saw he was human. He could make mistakes. I saw he had flaws. I thought, dear God, if he can't do this right, ain't no sense in me even trying. I had him built up so big. But you know, God has to take you through that. God's got to help you. You got to grow up to a place in God to realize what the way things really are. And God will only be able to use you to a certain extent until you get to a place where you can see more clearly. Even in the general body, as a minister, when I really begin to see the government of this body, and I begin to see that the leading elders weren't, you know, they had problems. That disturbed me. I had a problem. I started complaining about that. But God had to get me in a place that I could accept this body where it is and at what growth level God had us at, and that I could honor what God was doing. You have to do that in a local church. Y'all may not see that clearly in the general body yet. You may not have to see that, because God's not, you know, but God's dealing with me. I've got a burden for the general body, and I've got to see clearly where we're at. If I'm going to have any effect, if I'm going to be a member that's effective in my part, I've got to know what's going on. But and y'all have to do that in the local church. You've got to grow up in here to a place that you know everybody in here. That's one of the reasons that it's easy to go off somewhere to, you know, isn't it fun when we can go visit an assembly and we can get up and testify and everybody, hallelujah, and they get blessed by you, and you know, you preachers, including me, we can go off to another church and preach and get anointed, and everybody can shout, and you can do the same thing here, and everybody, it don't shake people, they don't get stirred up as much, maybe. I mean, we got to really get hooked up here, you know, but we can go somewhere else and just do a little something and really bless people. That's because they don't know you. If they knew you, if they remembered when you done them wrong last week and you ain't repented yet, you get up behind the pulpit and think you're going to bless me or get up and testify, I've seen what you done. You know, you may not even done it to me, but you done it to my sister, my brother. I know about it. I know, we know our faults. We know one another. But it's really where we're at, you know. We're, in other words, we're in a process and a progress of growing in God, and we have to get to a place where we can love one another just for who we are and where we're at in the kingdom of God. And realize, you know, but by the grace of God, you know, I realize, you know, sometimes we're just not, you can have a bad day. Do you know it? You ever have a bad hair day? I don't have too many bad hair days anymore. It doesn't bother me as bad if I've got a few of them out of place. But used to, I had to get, you know, be right in place or I'd have a bad hair day. But it don't bother me so much anymore. I'm not trying to impress anybody so much with my hairdo anymore. But I still have some bad days sometimes. I have to, You know, it's like, I mean, when Sister Smith and I first got married, now her and I were different than some people. Some of y'all got married, you know, I've heard people say, I don't know if any of you are here, but I've had a few people say, you know, me and my wife got married on such and such date, and we've never had a cross word. I immediately, what goes through my mind is, liar! You know, but, you know, I'll say maybe somebody is so insensitive and so, you know, weird that they don't have, you know, they don't have enough sensation, you know, for anybody to cross them or stir them up. But me and my wife, now we had a time when we first got married. I mean, I should have wrote the song, I Got a Tiger by the Tail. It's plain to see. Because I guarantee you, Buck Owens didn't have nothing on what was going on between us. But did you know we had enough of God in our life? That one of the things that I learned was I learned to get myself to church, and no matter what was going on between me and her, I learned to humble myself down and try to touch God. Sometimes I just had to put what was going on between us on the shelf and just say, God, I need your help. I know, you know, I can feel it. I can feel when my spirit gets so strong that I can't even feel God. I hated that. I'd go to church. One time me and her left church. I mean, we left church. We just got through worshiping God. We left church, we got in the car, in the parking lot. We never got out of the parking lot. That we was yelling at one another. I'm talking about that close. You know, I mean, I'm talking about furious. I mean, where you'll say things that the other one will never forget. And they'll remind you 20 years later about it. Maybe. You know, you can... God can help you finally get some past some of that. But I remember this particular time we was in the parking lot. We was fighting before we got out of the church parking lot. And I said something to her, and she said something to me, and I reared back at her, and she reared back at me. And something hit me, and I thought, God, this is in the church parking lot. And I said loud, I said, devil, you better get out of here. Of course, she thought I was talking to her. No, she didn't. She knew. She knew that I was trying to get a hold of God for both of us. I said, I'm not going to put up with this. You know what? That ended our argument. She shut up, and I did too. I didn't know what to say after that. You know, I mean, either you ran him off or you didn't, and I couldn't admit that I wasn't strong enough to get rid of him. And she couldn't say, here he is coming back. You know, I mean, she didn't want to bring him back, whoever he was. Anyway, but I did learn a secret. I learned to go to the house of God and just humble myself down, begin to yield. I tell you what I always felt like. I always felt like the Spirit of God's moving and I can't even feel it. I thought, God, what if I lose that forever? What if I let my spirit rob me of that forever? I was too afraid for that. I'd start trying to break that down, try to touch God. You know, it felt bad. You feel like a hypocrite. You know, you think, dear God, you know, I'm going to have to repent to my wife when this is over, when I get home, after I get a blessing. But I thought it's the right thing to do. I got to do it. I got to get a hold of God. I can't come in here and let my conscience get seared over like a hot iron, and let my pride and my spirit do this to me. I can't allow myself to do this. I'm glad somehow that got put in me. It saved me. It saved our marriage on my part. And I know she's worked on it too. There's a I want to read you a scripture in Galatians. I know it's Sunday night, but I want to read in Galatians 5. See if I can get my
See if I can figure out where to start without having to read the whole chapter. Let me read the first verse anyway. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Now, Paul's talking to the Galatian church about somebody was trying to bring them back under the yoke of bondage of the law, but they're being made free of from the law. And of course the law was a law that magnified the nature of sin that was working in man, and for them not to become entangled in the yoke of that is what Paul was dealing with. He said, "But behold, I Paul say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he's a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of none effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." He's just showing them that we've come to a place in God through Christ and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which Christ brought for us, that you can't keep the law. It won't. You can't be perfected under keeping a law or commandments. But it's through the Spirit of God that we're waiting. There's a process of waiting while the Spirit of God is working in our lives. We're waiting for the hope of righteousness by faith. We have faith that's created by the understanding of the Word of God, or being able to see clearly what God's working on here. And let's skip down to 13. It says, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, that thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law." Now, I want to say something about he said that if you're led by of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, and he names them. And I think it some of these are interesting to just look at. Adultery, we all know adultery is sinning against a married partner, sexual sins, and then fornication. Yeah, that's outside of marriage. sex outside of marriage. Uncleanness doesn't give a definite definition of uncleanness. The word for uncleanness is akatharsia, the Greek word, which just means impurity or immorality. He adds that in there. I'm going to give you a few of these. Lasciviousness. Lasciviousness, let me give you the Greek definition for lasciviousness, just means to be filthy, wantonness, or given over to lust. Then idolatry. There's several things that you can do that's given over to idolatry. Any kind of idol, anything you put up before God, but generally in that day it was dealing with other false gods, false religion. Witchcraft. We don't have much just outright open witchcraft, but it is becoming stronger today. This, what do they call it? Wiccans. And the sorcery and witchcraft is, now they call it the network of friends and ESP and people dealing with extrasensory perception or exalting themselves to think that they have some power that they don't have. Then he adds in here hatred. That's a work of the flesh. Any of you? None of y'all hate anybody, do you? Or have any hatred working in your life? Variance. Variance is quarreling, contention, strife, debate. You ever quarrel? You ever get in? Any of you married couples ever quarrel? Let me tell you something. I'm not trying to magnify the problems that, you know, we may go through in life or things that have the works of the flesh. But I can tell you, the Spirit of God, if you'll keep serving God, if you'll never give over, don't ever get so mad that you let your pride take the God out of your life. Just keep humbling down before God. Let me tell you something. When you touch the Spirit of God, you know, I felt a touch from God this morning come in this place that if we would have moved into it, we could have got liberated. We could have got liberated here. If we'd have moved in, there was too much flesh. There was too much resistance. But if we, and we can generate that. Did y'all know that? Sometimes God just withholds himself from us. I know that. There's times that we can come in here and I don't care how much you sing, how much you shout, how much you jump up and down, you ain't going to touch God. Sometimes God withholds himself because he just wants you to know the difference when it's you and when he's in on it. But when you feel his presence, when he comes in among us and makes himself available to us, that's a time to woo him. He wants us to recognize the difference. He wants us to recognize there is that liberty of the Spirit wherein you can be made free of this fleshly, damnable nature that is, it's destroyed the relationship that God wants to have with you. And he makes it available to us. And I want